Alrighty. So obviously the word that we're focusing on tonight is believe. It was honestly really funny because I was thinking about what I would teach on, and I was like, I just like read the general like Christmas story that everyone knows and everyone's heard before. And so I was looking through some of what we've gone through in Colossians, and the word believe just kind of stuck out to me. And then Saturday, of course, at our Christmas celebration at church, Daddy went to several, or Pastor Fred went to several of the places that we'll be going to tonight. But it's kind of cool.
Come on, Daddy.
It's kind of cool how it's just like the Lord kind of confirms and He just wants to reinstill things in us.
Teaching on some more verses too on Wednesday.
Yeah.
There you go. We're covered.
Yeah, we're covered.
Yep. So, all right. So we're gonna start in Colossians, chapter 1. And verse 13. Well, 12 actually. Verse 12. And this is what we went over, not last week, but the study before.
Mm-hmm.
It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed unto us the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, and that are in heaven and are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And so, as I was just thinking about some of the stuff that we've talked about recently, it brought back into my memory as I was just trying to think about the story of Jesus coming to the world for us, as that day. That's what we celebrate this time of year, right? We remember him coming to the world for us. And, verse 15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, right? We talked about how he's like that picture of who God is. And in verse 13, it says, he, the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness. And if you would turn to John chapter 3, and you see how he delivered us from that power of darkness. Starting in verse 15, it says, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So here we see that Son, that deliverance that it talks about in Colossians chapter 1 there, that God sent, he sent his Son, his only begotten Son, because he so loved us that if only we believe, that we are saved, we're given everlasting life, right? And we all know the wages of sin is death. That's what it talks about in verse 17 and 18, right? It talks about that difference. He who believes in him is no longer condemned. We're no longer condemned to the wages of our sin, which is death. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son, that Son who came for us. To that lowly manger. And if you would then turn to John chapter 20. And here we see Jesus talking to Thomas. verse 24 of chapter 20. It says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see him, see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my fingers into the prints of the nail, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came. The doors began being shut and stood in the midst, and he said, 'Peace to you.' And then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your fingers here and look at my hands, and reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." And here we see Thomas, and you know, Jesus had showed up to the other disciples. They had seen him. They had been in Jesus' presence after he had died and risen. And Thomas was like, I mean, I don't know. If I was in that place, I think I'd be like, yeah, you guys are crazy. But, you know, and he didn't believe. He didn't believe that they had seen Jesus in that risen state. But at the end where it says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed," that is what, right, we're given that blessing because we haven't seen him. We've seen his hand in things. We've seen his creation. But physically, we haven't seen that image of the invisible God in person. So we are blessed if we believe, right? We are given that eternal life that we're promised in John 3:16. In Genesis 15, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to look at it real quick. It's Daddy talked about it on Saturday, and it's with Abram where God gives him that covenant. He promises him that son, and it says in verse 6, it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he was accounted to him, it was accounted to him for righteousness." And truly, I believe that if we believe in the Lord, it's accounted to us for righteousness, because as we've looked through these past few weeks in Colossians, right, that redemption that we talked about, that reconciliation that we talked about, where it's been paid in full, his blood has covered us. We've been accounted that righteousness when we believe in him, when we believe in that son that came and paid that penalty for us. Now, Romans chapter 4. Verse 20, in this section, again, is talking about the promise that was granted to Abraham through faith. Chapter 4, verse 20 of Romans, it says, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who delivered us because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." And so there we just see Abraham, he didn't waver in that promise. His faith, his belief in what God had promised him caused him to be accounted righteousness for him. It says in verse 21, he was fully convinced that what God had promised, that he was able to perform. The word belief, it literally means to accept something as true or feel sure, feel absolutely convinced in the truth of something. And so here we see that Abraham, he was fully convinced in that promise. He was fully convinced that God would be true to his word, that he would provide that lamb, right? And that's what we're looking at, right? We're looking at that lamb that he provided for us is that baby in that manger. If you just look back to Romans chapter 3, in verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being the witness by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Jesus Christ." So there we see, right? We see we've all sinned. We're all worthy of the wages of death. And yet our belief, that faith in Jesus Christ, it causes us to be justified freely by his grace through his redemption. And it was funny because I don't know, you guys have all probably seen the Santa Claus, right?
Tim Allen.
Well, they just came out with like a new series, and it's not a movie, it's like a series instead. And it's a lot like the basic Santa Claus movies where Santa Claus is having some trouble with his magic because the children aren't believing in him anymore, or they feel like Christmas is going to be over because the children aren't believing, or there's not enough belief, the magic is fading, Santa Claus is fading, and Santa has to go and fix it, you know, the classic Santa Claus movies. And it's cool because the belief that we have in God is not like that belief. Our belief in God, it doesn't sustain him. It doesn't make him exist. He doesn't have to rely on our belief, right?
Right.
He didn't come to this world and die on the cross, come to that manger, live a lowly life because he needed us to believe in him. He came because we needed to believe in him. It's because he died for us, like it said in John 3:16, so that we would have everlasting life, right? The basic Santa is reliant on our belief, right, for his magic to work. Whereas Jesus, we are reliant on our belief in him for our life. It just like hit me one day when I was watching. I was like, wow, this is just messed up, I guess. Like, God doesn't need us. He doesn't need our belief. And yet we need it, right? We need it to be saved. Whoever believes in him shall be saved. It's not that, I just believe a little bit, or I don't really believe in him. I'm not sure I can trust him, but I'm still going to have everlasting life because he's a good, he's a gracious God. We have to believe, right? Mm-hmm. We have to put that belief in him in order for us to be saved. He sent his son into this world so that we could be saved. He sent his son to suffer, to live like we live, right? To go through what we go through so that we would be saved, so that we wouldn't have to deal with the wages of sin. And so that's just what I wanted to share with you guys. I know it was short, but I don't know. It's just what the Lord put on my heart this time. So.
Very good.